Report. Follow us on our social networking feeds at Hagman Report on Twitter. I've got my own too, Douglas Hagman, or at Hagman PI, and Douglas Hagman Facebook, and of course Hagman Report on Facebook as well. And again, just a heartfelt thanks to everyone listening right now. We're getting emails from Europe where it's late or early. We're getting emails all across the United States, Canada, North and South America, or South America, Central America. I want to thank each and every one of you for checking in with us, and thanks for telling us where you're listening. And a special hello, of course, to Bob and Maggie. God bless you both as well. Thank you for your service. Now, our guest tonight is Mr. Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org. You know, if you're not familiar with this organization, and I can't believe that you're not, definitely visit oathkeepers.org. And even if you are, keep up on the latest. Follow them on their social networking feeds. But as we get into tonight, this program, we're a couple of days out from a Trump, I'll say landslide. All right. And of course, headline on Drudge, assassination threats against Trump flood Twitter. We're going to get Stuart Rhodes' take on that, right after I mention Texas Ready. Texas Ready seed banks. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you want a seed bank, two words, Texas Ready. And this is the best, the Cadillac of seed banks, as far as I'm concerned, at the Oldsmobile prices, Chevy prices. First of all, they contain regionally appropriate open pollinated heirloom seeds, and most seed banks don't take into account the geographical differences between locations. Well, Texas Ready, they do. And I could just go through really a litany of points about Texas Ready. They use certified seeds. Most seed bank companies don't do that because they cost too much. Well, Texas Ready thinks you're worth it, and we think you're worth it as well. That's why we, as an organization, we require potential sponsors to send in the products, and we take a look and we have them evaluated, compare them to others. That's kind of part of our listener protection program. Well, Texas Ready passes heads and shoulders above any seed bank ever. So, folks, check out their website, texasready.net. That's texasready.net. And we want to thank them so much for their support of the Hagman Report. But again, our guest is Stuart Rhodes, a man I've got a lot of respect for. And as I said right before the break, or right during the break, is we owe to Oath Keepers and Stuart Rhodes a debt of gratitude for their service in proactively preventing or mitigating the voter fraud that could have taken place, or at least lessening that. But Mr. Rhodes, what do you make of the assassination threats that are just raging across the social network feeds? What's your take on that?
Well, it's just interesting that if the flip had been happened, imagine if after Obama was elected, there had been that kind of a flood of threats to assassinate him. You know, leftist media would have gone, you know, crazy. And of course, they're not highlighting this flood of hatred. And it's just kind of weird to see people who run around and claiming that we're full of hate and we're intolerant and that we, you know, otherize other people and you know, make them less than human. That's the allegations they make about us, when actually they're the ones doing that. So they're projecting. You know, they're actually doing what they accuse us of doing. And so they're the ones that are full of hatred and like to, you know, dehumanize other people and talk about them in ways that, you know, we never thought we'd see in modern America. So there's a lot of that, but then it's also a reflection of the fear. You know, they have built up a massive amount of power in the hands of the president. It's like Julian Assange said. It's like, okay, so drone strikes, you know, unrestricted executive power and spying on Americans, and, you know, NSA spying on all of us. Now it's all in the hands of Trump. And I think that they realize the same thing. It's, you know, they built up unlimited power, and now it's in the hands of someone that they detest.
Mm. Well said. And by the way, I caught the news, a little bit of good news, I believe. It shows character when Donald Trump called the police officer who was slain the widow of the police officer who was slain here the other day. Was it yesterday or wherever? NYPD sergeant, I don't recall his name. He was an NYPD sergeant.
Yeah.
Killed Thursday morning, and extended the Trump extended his condolences to the widow. I thought that was a pretty class act, and I'm sure.
Yeah, you never saw Obama do that, did you? Never.
No.
Once.
No. No. Beer summits to, you know, dress down a police officer. Yes, but never saw Obama do that. Of course not. What do you make of the WikiLeaks? You mentioned WikiLeaks. I just, and I know this is not necessarily in, you know, in your venue specifically, but overall, what do you
absolutely
make of
the WikiLeaks? It is.
Okay.
Well, I think he's. I think Julian Assange is you know, a great hero, frankly, for doing what he did. Imagine if you did not have WikiLeaks and you did not have Project Vera. That's another heroic effort. It's possible you might be having a Clinton victory. I mean, I think the disclosures and exposure of the corruption and the criminality went a long way to taking the wind out of her sails, and not only among, you know, conservatives and average Americans, but also among the Democrats. I think there's quite a few Democrats now that are turning on her for good reason. She was hoisted on her own petard, right? She stole the nomination from Sanders and his supporters, and so the Democratic Party did not have the candidate that their base actually supported. Instead, they had an insider, and they also we all know from the WikiLeaks revelations that they picked Trump as the Pied Piper candidate. That's what they called him. So they made sure, they did all they could to make sure that he was the one that would get the nomination for the Republicans. So Hillary actually is responsible for her own destruction. And she threatened to drone strike Assange. So he got his revenge. So all of it came together in a perfect storm of righteousness, frankly, on our side, and swept her out. And, you know, good riddance to bad trash.
Stuart, I want to get your opinion on the FBI and James Comey in relation to the email scandal. We know Comey has an extensive history of covering up for Hillary Clinton, covering up crimes for both Bill and Hillary Clinton. His brother and himself are financially tied to the Clinton Foundation. We know that he made the announcement there was no criminal activity and or intent with Hillary transferring classified information over her private server, and that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. And then just before a few weeks before the actual vote of the election, Comey comes back out and states that they're reopening the investigation due to new emails found on Anthony Weiner's computer, over 650,000 of them, and then 8 days later coming out and again clearing Clinton of any wrongdoing. And then we've heard speculation that President Obama is going to fire FBI Director James Comey. What's going on with Comey in your mind?
Yeah, you got any inside scoop on this?
Well, I mean, we all know that he faced an uprising in the FBI. You know, the media themselves reported that he had a stack of resignations on his desk. So you had pressure on him to at least make a showing of trying to do his job. It was all kabuki theater. There's no way they could have possibly read through 650,000 emails to find. I mean, of course, a lot of them are, you know, using code words when they do stuff. So there's no way that they possibly reviewed all of that for how they connected up with other crimes that were known or for new crimes. It was just kabuki theater. So that's all it is. I mean, this is the problem, is that the entire left establishment is connected, in bed with the Clintons, and they're corrupt. I guess you call it, like, you know, kind of like Tammany Hall, right, in history. There's the corrupt regime or boss hog. You know, they own everything. They think they own the entire town. The judge, the county attorney, the sheriff, you know, they lock up all the power. Everyone's beholden to them, or they have something over them. And that's how they just, you know, that's how they operate. So, once again, without WikiLeaks and without Project Veritas to blow the lid off of all the corruption and expose it all, you know, we might not have been able to stop it. So I think it's incredibly important that we support people like that, the whistleblowers. Going back to Snowden, I mean, Snowden got attacked by a lot of people in this country for what he did, but in the end, I would rather have 1,000 Edward Snowdens exposing what our government is doing so we can ferret out the corruption.
Amen to that. I totally agree. Now, we want to make sure, I mean, we can talk endlessly, almost, it seems like, about all of the corruption, all of the problems, all of the infiltration by the communist left, in the protests. And to some extent, we should. But let's turn our attention to Oath Keepers, the organization, Stuart Rhodes, the man. You're doing a lot of good for a lot of people all across the United States, the military, the law enforcement, but also for citizens as well. Let's get into some good things here that people can take part of. Because I was looking at your website earlier today, and I mean, you hold webinars. There's a lot of things a lot of training, a lot of information that you're passing along to the people to help them help themselves. Where to start right there?
Well, we just did a webinar not too long ago on post-election possibility of violence and riots, and we saw this coming. So we did a webinar, still available on YouTube, that folks can go watch, that just discussed what might happen. Then I did a nice discussion the other night with Dr. Edwin Vieira about constitutional resistance to tyranny, looking at the possibility of Hillary taking it. But then we also looked at what if Obama does try to pull some kind of rabbit out of his hat, you know, the martial law rabbit, and explain that martial law is, of course, nowhere in the Constitution, is it completely invalid. So we did a good discussion on that. The next one is going to be, in about a week, will be on neighborhood watches. You know, like I said earlier, the most fundamental thing you must do is provide security for you and your family, and that requires a community. So you need to get together with your neighbors, and we're going to have two Army Ranger veterans come on and discuss for about an hour and a half to 2 hours in detail how to stand up a strong neighborhood watch with teeth, and following the plan put out by that really excellent book called The Failure of Civility, how to construct a neighborhood protection plan and prepare yourself. So even if you don't have neighbors who are switched on now, how to plan and prepare so that you're ready to assume leadership and help them, basically how to stand up a neighborhood watch on the fly. So look for that on our website. It should be in about a week. And we have a program called CPT, which stands for Community Preparedness Team. That's our program to have our veterans form training cadre in every community and go out and teach people how to take care of themselves. And they teach church security teams, they teach neighborhood watches, they work with their local police departments to back them up. And we have a whole list of the skill sets that we think are important. Communications are critical. Emergency medical, engineering, you know, clean water and power and fuel, security, and then intelligence also is important. And so we'll teach people how to do these things for themselves, how to put together a good team, and how to replicate that in their neighborhoods, in their churches, and in their towns, counties, and states. So we think we should start from the very bottom and work up. That's what we're planning on doing.
A very admirable set of initiatives. And you know what, folks? I didn't mention this, but I don't think it would become as a surprise to anyone. I mean, Mr. Rhodes has got a very impressive background. He's a graduate of Yale Law School. I mean, my goodness. Some folks don't like that. Well,
they think I was Skull and Bones because they went to Yale, but they don't realize Skull and Bones is an undergrad institution only.
Good point, but you know you're certainly educated in the constitutional matters. You were U.S. Army paratrooper as well, and again, I want to thank you, especially today, for taking time out of this very special day for you to appear on the Hagman Report, and also thank you for your service. And of course, you were a staffer for Ron Paul for a while.
That's right. Yeah. Far more proud of that than going to Yale, absolutely.
Speaking of Ron Paul, you know, we saw this populist movement, you know, really come and awaken during this Trump run from before the primaries into the election. Do you think we missed an opportunity with Ron Paul that we now have with Donald Trump?
Yeah, I do. And of course, I'm maybe a little bit biased about that. But you know, what's kind of ironic and strange is that, you know, like I was telling some people on Twitter, I was tweeting with some leftists, and I said, you know, you could have had Sanders versus Rand Paul. I mean, Rand Paul is the one in the WikiLeaks disclosures. You know, it was found out that he's the one they really feared. They feared a Rand Paul candidacy because they thought he could have beaten Hillary. And they preferred Trump. Of course, they didn't realize that Trump rode the same wave of discontent and as an outsider that Rand Paul would have ridden to. So I think Rand Paul could have beaten her. I certainly think that back when, rather than Romney and McCain, I do believe that Rand Paul would have beaten Barack Obama soundly for the same reasons. Romney and McCain were both corrupt insiders. And they did not bring out the same vote that Trump was able to bring out. You have to have an outsider. And also, because Rand Paul is so anti-war, I think he would have gotten quite a few of the people who wound up supporting Sanders on the Democrat side. So it could have been a repeat of what we saw with Ronald Reagan. You know, with Reagan, quite a few Democrats crossed over and voted for him. So, you know, I think yes, it could have been very different with Ron Paul or his son. But I think Trump has managed to harness the same block of Americans who are sick and tired of their country being destroyed.
Yeah, and I apologize for I want to revisit this because getting so many emails, and believe it or not, emails from people outside of the country wanting your take on Hillary Clinton. I don't know if they're looking for something a little bit more specific. The one email.
Well, I think she's an absolutely corrupt, demonstrated liar and demonstrated criminal. I think she's a sociopath. And I really do believe that if she'd have been made president, I think she's kind of a Maoist or a Stalinist in her mindset. I think it would have been an absolute, I think it would have been in a civil war in short order because I don't think, for one, many Americans would not have accepted her. It's kind of a flip side of what we're seeing now. What's kind of weird about this is that on the other side, on the right, they would have rejected Hillary Clinton as being legitimate because she belongs in prison. And on the left, now they're rejecting Trump because they believe that he's illegitimate. So, you know, America is a very divided country. And it's a very dangerous place to be right now.
But I think she was manifestly
corrupt and criminal, as I think. I think that Trump, for all his faults, he has not served in office yet. And so I do believe he deserves the benefit of a doubt.
And I totally agree with you. I mean, we know what Clinton is, just blows my mind. You know, it just blows my mind how anyone can be an apologist for Hillary Clinton, given the fact that we've had 30 years to see exactly who she is and what she's done. Given the chance that Trump or the Attorney General, Department of Justice will go after her criminally?
They should. They need to. Yeah. I mean, if you let her off with a slap on the wrist now, I think they'll, you know, of course they should wait until Obama's out so he can't pardon her. But yeah, I think Trump should keep his promise. He said that if I'm elected, you'll be in prison. He should keep that promise. Absolutely. Why is she above the law? You know, there are plenty of good men who violated the exact same requirements of security for communications who are now being punished for it. So she does not get a pass. She should not.
No, I agree with you on that. And you know, it's just being a little bit introspective. Ever since the night of the election, we've had like. I'm sure you've been busy too, but it's like we have had virtually no sleep this week, and just mulling things over and thinking about things. This country, after 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satara, the guy in the Oval Office, the divisiveness of this country, the division, everything that we're seeing here, all symptoms of a much deeper, obviously spiritual problem, but even deeper moral problem with our country. I mean, how much worse can this get? And I'm afraid to ask that question. I shouldn't ask that question because I know it can get much worse. But Any particular flashpoint that you're that kind of keeps you up at night thinking, man, if this happens, we could be in a lot of trouble?
Well, I really do worry about an economic collapse. I think Mr. Rawls is correct. I think it's the great sword of Damocles hanging over our heads. You know, our economy is so fragile because of the fiat currency we've been living under since 1913, I think it was, when the Fed was created. You know, there's going to come a reckoning. Fiat currencies don't last. They eventually die, and they die a very spectacular death. You know, so I think we're headed for that. I think Americans need to understand that, hey, Trump inherited, basically, he's at the helm of the Titanic. It's already hit the iceberg. There's a huge gash in the hole, and it's going down. So, you know, we can try to minimize the damage and survive the sinking, but the economy's, you know, doomed. The dollar's doomed. So I'm not sure how he catches up after decades of hollowing out and destruction of our economy. So it might be, you know, that this is what will happen, is they'll pull the plug on it and then blame him and say, see, this is the problem, as Trump came in and he killed the economy. He'll end up like a Herbert Hoover. So I think it's important for us to assume the worst, that that's what they're going to do, and prepare for it. So you do need food storage. Every American should be doing what the LDS Church calls on its members to do, store up, you know, 3 months of the food you're going to eat anyway, you know, your normal groceries, and just rotate it, and then store up at least a year of the basics, you know, wheat, powdered milk, sugar, salt, you know, oatmeal, things like that, pasta, things that will last long term. So we do need to do that, rice and beans, you know. So stack up extra rice and beans for yourself and your neighbors. You know, even the cheap stuff like that is better than nothing when the time comes.
Exactly. And you were, and I know, are you, did you tell me earlier that you're going to have another webinar session, instructional presentation on, like, the neighborhood watch? Did I understand that? Okay.
In about a week, and then after that, within every 2 weeks, we'll have a webinar. So the next one's going to be on neighborhood watches, which are critical, and then after that, we'll be on food storage, on long-term food storage, and how to get started.
Okay. And people, now that people refer to I'm having trouble. Later on, I'll work on my letters today. I have to work on my words. Man, all people have to do is just go to oathkeepers.org. Do you have to register for these, or can you just kind of walk in?
Well, they're open to the public, webinar. But when we put the link up, it's only, I think we're capped at like 2,000 people. So as soon as it's posted, I would encourage folks to go register for it. But it's free. Okay. It's not limited to our own membership. It's open to the public.
Okay, that's very good. Well, okay. What, here in a couple of minutes before the end of the segment here, what do you see as the most important thing Americans should be doing right now, given all of the things that we talked about? What are we looking at? Which should we be doing aside from the obvious? Is there anything that we haven't touched on that we should be?
Well, we need to revitalize the militia system in this country. As we've had Dr. Ibn Vieira on several times in interviews and also articles on our site, he's absolutely correct. We have a massive deficiency. He talks about, and I think he had a piece called Going to the Root of the Problem, and he talked about we have a fiat currency in a zombie economy, and then we have no security, no capability to preserve law and order, preserve property and life, liberty, and property, because we have no militia. He's right. Those are the twin great weaknesses we have. And so a real militia is every able-bodied person in the community at the town and county level, and then they are then part of the state militia. And that is what the founders expected of all of us. And because we don't have that, we're not fulfilling our responsibilities and our duties under the Constitution. So that's one thing we have to fix. And that's the whole point of our CPT program, is to start at the neighborhood level, because you have to have that. If you don't have a neighborhood watch, no cop's going to go do his job, no EMT, no firefighter, or no militiaman eventually will be able to project out and go do his job unless family is safe. so that's why you have to have a neighborhood watch. And so
right.
to us, that's the most fundamental. Then the church security team is the next, and right now we have ISIS, you know, targeting churches and synagogues in the United States for attack. So now it's a good opportunity to go in and grab the pastor and say, Pastor, this is real. It's a real threat. You have to fix this. You've got to raise up a security team from among your church, and then get the churches to see themselves as what they should be, which is a place of refuge and disaster relief and charity in the community. That's what the church, you know, that's what the church historically was. And a lot of them have abdicated that responsibility. They don't function like that anymore. And so they're not doing their job either. So these are the institutions we already have. Let's strengthen them. And then the third one, big focus for us, is sheriff's posses. Get a constitutional sheriff, then have a posse behind him of all the able-bodied citizens in his county. That is, to me, the very next best thing to a real militia again. And we can do that. All it takes is one good sheriff being elected, and then the people in the county getting up off their couches and becoming the posse.
Well said. Mr. Rhodes, we've got about half a dozen questions from listeners. Can you stay a little bit longer after the next break?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to answer questions.
All right, perfect. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. Stuart Rhodes is our guest. Oathkeepers.org. Bookmark that site. Follow them on Twitter. I love their Twitter feed. Just go there, folks. Oathkeepers on Twitter. We'll be right back. See where we're at. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our final segment on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Gracious gift of time by military veteran Stuart Rhodes, the head, the guy, oathkeepers.org. And to me, this is a tremendously patriotic constitutional organization, despite what, don't make my blue eyes brown. Or whatever Ms. Blue says in her research. But don't get me started there. My goodness. Before we get to Mr. Rhodes, let me ask you a question, folks. Have you thought about long-term investing? You're hearing a common theme, are you not? About a potential economic crisis or the potential for an economic crisis. Obviously, right? Am I stating the obvious? Of course I am. But what about your long-term investments? What about your 401ks? Are they invested in the market? Is it just air? Let me tell you about PreciousTimber.com. PreciousTimber.com. I'd like you to go there and visit PreciousTimber.com. It's, in fact, Alex Wilson, who's a great friend of the program, he's going to be coming back on to talk a little bit more about his initiatives. They have a 2-day discovery tour right now. They're offering a 2-day, 2-night timber and coconut discovery tour. In fact, you can go to PreciousTimber.com and click on, just scroll down and you'll see it. And you can inquire about that. They've got an email address there at PreciousTimber.com for the details of the discovery tour. But invest in I never thought you can grow money, but basically that's what they're doing. You can invest in the people and the planet. Join at PreciousTimber.com and generate a social and an environmental impact alongside a favorable financial return. You can invest in timber, of course, and invest in coconuts. And we've talked about coconuts before. Of all the things, again, when I think of coconuts, I think of Gilligan's Island, right? That's me. But the long and short of it is long-term investments up to 15% return. And you're looking at a lot of people and organizations, of high net worth. For example, Coke and Pepsi. They've invested in coconuts, believe it or not. Again, a 15% return, perhaps, potential? My goodness, who wouldn't? But for full details, and this is something that you really have to really look at, to really appreciate, go to PreciousTimber.com. That's PreciousTimber.com. One more time, PreciousTimber.com or ProfitsInCoconuts.com. or simply do this. Call 855-888-6288 to receive more information. Now, I'm required to say that this announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation to offer of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. Again, call 855-888-6288 or visit either precioustimber.com or profitsincoconuts.com. It's a great idea, folks. Bottom line, great idea. And it's when you see, I'll tell you something, when you see their discovery tour, I want to go. Can I be someone's date? Not in that way. You know what I mean. Stow me away. All right. But again, our guest tonight is Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org. That's oathkeepers.org. One of the biggest questions, Mr. Rhodes, we're getting from people all over the United States. I think we've got, at last count, I don't know, in the teens. And I'm going to paraphrase. Hey, I'm not a member of military or law enforcement. What can I do? You know, what can I do? Can I join? Can I help? Tell me what to do.
Well, certainly, we allow people to come in who are not prior service as associate members. Although we also encourage them, you know, go join your volunteer fire department, go join your search and rescue, your EMT team. Become a reserve deputy, you know, become a CERT team member. There's all kinds of things you can do in your community. And whether you join Oathkeepers or not, I think it's important to do these things. Go become part of the first responder community. That way you strengthen your community, and you're also now on the inside. You're part of them, so you can influence what they do, and you also know what's happening. Here in Eureka, Montana, where I live, we have an RCPT. We have two nurses. One of them became an EMT. We have someone on search and rescue. We have two people in the fire department, local fire departments. My son's one of them. So we have, you know, we have made ourselves part of the first responder community so that we are able to, well, first of all, have credibility. We're walking our talk, and we're able to influence what happens. We know what's going to be happening. We'll know what's happening in our own county. So I think I encourage folks to do that, whether they join Oathkeepers or not. But if you do, then you can be a full member because you're actually taking, you know, responsibility for your community. But, you know, if someone joins an associate, we don't really treat them any different. We're all in this together, and we put them to work. They can come in, and whatever the skill set is, we'll find a place for them, and we'll give them something to do. Absolutely.
Beautiful. Now, I know you're talking with John Robertson, and I don't know how much of this you want to address, but you've got eyes and ears just about everywhere, I think. Now, do you have any intelligence operations or initiatives that you might want to talk about, solicit involvement for, perhaps? I'm not sure. You know, go ahead.
Well, I mean, we encourage people to do... A good friend of ours is Sam Culper. That's his pen name. But he's for Observer Magazine. And people go to readfomagazine.com or readfomag.com. And for Observer Magazine teaches you how to do your own neighborhood intelligence gathering. And it's important for us to set up at the neighborhood and town level Patriot intelligence. So I think it's important for all of us to do that. We do have a new trucker division, and that's our eyes and ears on the road. Truckers are, of course, everywhere in this country. Many of them are former military, and they're all patriots. So we now have a division devoted to truckers, and recruiting them as our eyes and ears. And what we offer them in return is that if you're stuck on the road somewhere, you can call up the local Oathkeeper chapter for some help. And also, if you're stuck far from home during a crisis, we will take care of your family. So we have an operation called Family Safe, where we offer to protect. So far, we've done it with police and military families. Anybody who's under threat of terrorism from who's a current first responder, we'll protect their families. We've done this in the past. But now we're opening this up to truckers because we consider them, you know, critical personnel in our movement. So that's our pro quo for them. You know, if they're willing to be our eyes and ears and report what they see, we have a new intelligence division that we've developed around the trucker program that is now in every state. and we have regional. If folks go to oathkeepers.org/trucker, they can see the map we have divided the United States up into regions that we have intel teams in each one of those regions in addition to the states. And their whole point is to help to communicate with the truckers and find out what they know and pass it up to our intel analysts, and then, of course, also offer them aid and assistance. So we don't want to see any more regional Dennys. You know, if they're in need, if we can reach them at all, we will go in and extract them. That's our goal.
Man, and I know, ladies and gentlemen, I know that we've got a lot of truckers who listen to this program, and I know we've got a lot of, in they're all extremely intelligent, aware, and responsible. This is great. So, okay, oathkeepers.org/trucker, and get for details, for information.
Yep, you go there and they can learn about, you know, what we're doing and why, and what we're doing is we're matching them up with our communications experts who will then teach them, you know, how to ramp up their communications in their trucks. Now, a lot of them have CBs, but we want to teach them how to use HF radios, you know, the ham radios, so they can communicate even when there's grid down.
Man, that's kind of like, I wish I would have thought of that myself. Fantastic. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a trucker listening to this broadcast, or if you know a trucker, responsible, and most of them are, obviously, oathkeepers.org/trucker for more information. What a great initiative that is. Another question here, and perhaps we can wrap it up with this one. We've got this is coming in. In fact, more than one, Bob Maggie, I just want to salute you as well, asking about these protests. We've got a lot of concern that with the protests, or more accurately described, riots that we're seeing right now, will there ever come a time, Mr. Rhodes, in your view, if this progresses, for foreign intervention such as the United Nations to come in to assist in quelling these uprisings and riots?
Well, I think it's entirely possible that they might be foolish enough to try it. You know, I attended Yale Law School, and I can tell you that a lot of these East Coast elites just don't understand how much the rest of the country loathes the United Nations. You know, if I said one thing in criticism of the UN, they'd look at me like I was crazy. So in their mind, they really believe the United Nations is this, you know, untouchable, perfect entity that they just worship. And so they might be stupid enough to, under their own hubris, to actually try to bring in UN troops. If they did, I think they would see, you know, just such an overwhelming backlash from both the U.S. military and from all of us veterans and all the gun owners. It would just be overwhelming. I'd feel sorry for any foreign troop that came here with a blue helmet on. You know, life expectancy is can be measured in a matter of minutes. So I think that'd be an incredibly stupid thing to do. But I think Obama, coming from his own background at Harvard, I think he's just dumb enough to do it.
You know.
We'll see. I hope he just simply, like you said earlier, just be a lame duck president and go away. Don't try to do anything stupid, you know. But, you know, it's possible. You know,
wow.
History is full of people that miscalculated and thought they had it in the bag, whether in warfare or politics, and then they, you know, step out and do stupid things, and then they get a bunch of other folks killed. So I just hope that they're not that stupid.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. Well, I'll tell you something. Our audience, and I've been numerous emails, we're kind of fielding a lot of traffic here. Everyone is extending their not just well wishes, but prayers for you and your organization, your safety, and for future success. And they're extending their thanks as well for all that you've done.
Well, thank you.
And they continue to do. And my friend, I hope you won't be a stranger to the program. I just want to say thank you for your gracious gift of time tonight, and thank you for all that you have done and continue to do for the patriots of this country.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention is we are going to be starting a college program now as well, and we'll be on college campuses. So I think it's time to go on the offensive and take back that ground from all the social justice warrior freaks who have, you know, considered to be their own playground for far too long. So we look forward to watching their heads explode when they see Oath Keepers on campus. Figuratively speaking, of course.
No, I know. I want to buy tickets to that. When is that going to start?
They'll need some kind of sheltering and trigger word therapy. ASAP. We're going to be getting, now that the election's over, we think it's that, you know, the time is right, like I said, to go on the offensive. So right. Within a matter of weeks, we'll be standing up student groups across the country.
Beautiful, man.
Awesome.
You're a hero to many, and thank you, Mr. Rhodes, for all that you do. And God bless you, man. God bless you. And for the initiatives, what a great thing with the Trucker Initiative, as well as the college programs, and of course your webinars. We will continue to promote your organization and all that you do. Thank you, my friend, for your gift.
Thank you. God bless you. Good night, guys.
God bless as well.
God bless you too. That was Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers.
Huh?
Oathkeepers.com. He's the founder. Yeah, that was great.
You know something, folks. Like, go ahead and send him an email and thank him, or Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Just acknowledge him, because I think I had such a wonderful discussion with him before the program. And he's such a reserved man, and he's such a very humble guy. They're doing so much out there. And, you know, for all of the attacks that he's getting from these left-wing whack jobs, and the bad press that they're getting, incorrectly painting him and his organization as anti-government, for example. He takes a lot of crap.
And he talked about that, and when he first came on, you know, they take an oath to uphold the Constitution.
Yeah, how could you be anti-government to do that?
Yeah, I mean, they're not on the offensive in any way. They're not taking a position other than upholding the rule of law and the laws of the land.
Right.
And they are, you know, basically labeled a terrorist group. I guess it's fitting when the 2009 Homeland Security right-wing extremist lexicon lists the alternative media as domestic extremist, with the definition of alternative media being any media outlet that differs from what is put out on the mainstream media. Constitutionalists are also listed on that report as right-wing extremist as well. And then they try to justify it by tying it back to slavery and whatnot. And, you know, gun ownership. They have gun ownership as, you know, if you are pro-gun, you are, you know, possibly an extremist. Hopefully with the Trump presidency, they'll be able to dial it back some and, you know, stop labeling the American public, the majority of the American public, you know, the Bible-gripping, gun-clutching public as terrorist, and hopefully we can have some healing in the land. But I'm skeptical about that, especially now as we see the intensification of anti-Trump protests all across the country. You don't see Hillary Clinton coming out and denouncing the protests. And I heard a great commentary earlier. Think back to 2008 when Obama was elected president. Could you imagine if people behave this way to the news of Obama winning the presidency?
Yeah,
going out in the streets, starting protests and being violent, you know, beating up Obama supporters or people who voted for Obama. There's a number of disturbing videos on the web that show individuals who supported Trump being targeted for group beatings. High school kids. Even there's a one YouTube video where a mother throws her son out of the house. The son can't be older than
8 years old.
Yeah, 8 years old for voting for Trump in a mock election at his school. I just don't see where this is going to end, how this can even end well, especially when you have George Soros funneling in millions of dollars, busing people to and from locations of where they want these people to protest. There's a much larger agenda at play. Don't even know if Donald Trump is aware of it, or will be aware of it. There was also the Republicans won the House and the Senate during this election cycle. They held on to the majority of both houses. And, you know, there's a big question mark for the next 2 months of Obama in power. What's he going to do? Will there be some type of emergency to the point where, you know, martial law is declared or some type of, emergency scenario, state of emergency? These are all important questions that, and are a reason that we need to keep our eye on. I mean, now's not the time to slack off.
No.
The emails, WikiLeaks are still releasing emails. Hillary Clinton cannot be let off the hook. Just because she lost the presidency, she still needs to be held accountable for her theft, for the bribery, for the murders, for her whole criminal mafia enterprise. And as unlikely as I think it is, they need to keep their finger on the pulse, just as we need to keep our finger on the pulse to make sure that we are continuing to uncover her corruption. Because if she's not held accountable, she could run again in some capacity if she's still alive, whether for president, Congress, or other.
Need to call a taxidermist for that. But that thought there, we got a number of emails as well asking the question about a Obama pardon for Hillary, and or can she be pardoned? And the answer is simply this: yes, Obama can pardon Hillary, even though she's not officially under indictment or charged.
He can pardon her before she is charged.
That's correct. For
I don't think he will.
Previous crimes.
I don't think he will, because if he pardons her, he is guilty himself of lying to the American public. He can't pardon himself.
I remember this story with Watergate, though. You know, you weren't, obviously, you weren't around then, but, you know, that question was tossed around during the Watergate, because Nixon was not under indictment. Okay, so there was a question about Ford pardoning Nixon, which he had done, obviously, but, you know, with respect to Hillary. Now, but what you're saying, though, Joe, is you don't think Obama would do it because it would expose his criminality? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. He is guilty. There are emails to and from Obama from Hillary Clinton's private server, and he lied about his knowledge of that server, saying he only learned about all this stuff when it came out on into the public's eye through the news coverage. And he is guilty of lying to the public, and I think also sending classified information over unsecured lines.
Well, and I think the optics of a Clinton pardon would look bad. However, if you weigh the optics versus the alternative, they may go for, we'll take a blow visually, you know, because the alternative could be much worse. Now, the mitigating factor to that could be her health status, which we still don't know. You know, isn't it interesting that we don't know much about her health status?
Yeah, you know? And I'm still curious as to...
Who in the heck was that guy with the pen? Who's that black guy?
You want his name?
No, you know what? I know the name. I know who they say he is. But I guess my question is, and I've gotten literally hundreds of emails saying, well, this is who it is. But do we really know that for sure? And if we do, what's your source? Okay, that's my problem.
Yeah, okay? And I've come across a name a few times.
Yeah, it's a weird name. But where'd it come from? Where did that information come from? Because Secret Service agents don't wear...
He's not a Secret Service agent, from what I've...
research. See, again, I've so you're telling me that, well, that this whole thing doesn't make any sense, but I guess I'm just curious as to how Clinton what her health condition with status is. And apparently there was a selfie taken with a neighbor of Clinton today, Thursday.
You know, I think
when
that
she was
a,
walking.
Do you believe that to be true, that she was just out taking a stroll?
You know something? I don't know what to believe anymore as it relates to Hillary Clinton, her current activities. Huma's activities? Did you see her? It's mourning for Huma. Did you see?
Go to HagmanReport.com. You can check out the pictures of her crying.
There you go.
I posted them up there,
there
just during the show. Ola Danuta Okanulau. He's an MD, a neurology.
Say that five times.
Neuroscience Center of Northern Jersey. He provides a number of specialized care. He specializes in epilepsy, clinical neurophysiology, and sleep medicine.
Okay, so stop. That's enough for me to say, where's the media on this? If that is true,
where do you expect them to be?
Well, I know. I guess that was a rhetorical question, but at any rate, look, folks, we only have about 3 minutes left of the broadcast, and I just want to say this again. Number one, to each and every veteran out there, God bless you. Thank you for your service. Your law enforcement as well, thank you for your service. And to each family member, thank you for the sacrifice that you've made. And just thank you. And Joe, I know you mentioned there's a special from American Survival Wholesale
for their package for veterans. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They have the 2016 Veterans Day food special at a limited time offer. Also, with this special, there is a 90-day layaway plan available. You put $100 down, and in the next 90 days, you pay $269, the remainder of the balance. Mm-hmm. You'll get over 2 months of meals and save over 50% on this great assortment of some of your favorite foods. Email bugoutamerica@usa.com for details, or call Chance at 818-720-0759.
They do a lot for veterans.
That's American Survival Wholesale .com. The 2016 Veterans Day food special, $369, and it equals you save over 50%.
Yeah, it's a good buy
if you would buy it normally. And they have a layaway package, and there's a total of 740 servings. That's almost two servings for a dollar. You cannot beat that.
No,
anywhere.
You can't. And ladies and gentlemen, in closing, I just want to let you know that we're going to be working all weekend. Watch, because I intend to do a couple of videos that will be up. We're going to be working on research, the WikiLeaks, the information coming out of there, connecting some of the dots.
And I'll be on Dave Hodges on Sunday.
That's right. Hour one, Dave Hodges. Joe Hagman will be on there. And I was speaking to Dave earlier again today about eyewitness accounts of foreign military. Look, you know, if you've seen any kind of military action, especially foreign troops outside of the norm, I would say email Dave Hodges. And he's kind of collecting all that data. The last thing I want to say is I want to thank each and every one of you listeners and viewers for your support.
Yes.
Your support is just humbling. And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers, your notes of encouragement, your financial contributions. And if I could hug each and every one of you, and I'm not a hugger, believe me, I would. But thank you so much for that. And again, please watch our website this weekend, HagmanReport.com, specifically for research investigative reports as they pertain to the criminality and things that are taking place with respect to the riots across the United States, because they're going to grow.
Yeah, they are growing. I got some stuff lined up. I was going to post on the website. I posted a few stories during the show here, the one of Huma crying.
Yes.
And one about George Soros funding the protests. But if that's the case, he is funding the protests. I believe that we will see more cities becoming involved in these protests. And there's even a video out there of protesters fighting each other.
Yes, that's amazing, right? Yeah. And folks, you know what? I don't like to see people cry. I don't like to cause people to cry, nor do I like to see it. But I'll tell you something with respect to this Huma, Clinton, this whole cadre of
criminals.
They're
not crying because they're sad. They're crying because they know that they lost their opportunity to gain the power that they wanted to enslave this nation and its people.
Special thanks to John Robertson, JD and Bridget, my daughter Jackie, Eric the Tech, who you can follow on Twitter at RealTechEric, and of course, Lady the Studio Dog, who just is coming alive right now. If you can hear her in the background, she's actually inside my office with the door closed. Can you hear the muffled barks? Yeah, she's keeping watch.
Thanks, Todd, at Global Star Radio Network. Until next time, stay safe, God bless, and unless anything crazy happens over the weekend, we will see you back here on Monday. Have a good night.